It's good to be here this afternoon. Jason and I are going to tag team this. He let me go first because I talk a little slower. He's going to speed it up at the end. In the Mississippi Delta, which is where we're from, we are predominantly fur irrigated. But we are also, just like in many other areas, mining our aquifer. And so there is now a threat of regulation, and so there's a lot of room for water conservation. What we'd like to do over the next few years is to change the philosophy of irrigation to maximize yield. That's what basically the philosophy is right now with producers, to one of maximize yield economically with the least amount of water. And how are we going to do this is we need more information. Not only do we need to know what's going on above the ground, but we need to know what's going on below the soil surface. For the last 3 years, I've had an irrigation initiation demonstration on a producer's farm where we were looking at commercially available wireless soil moisture systems. These systems have the potential to give good information of what's going on below the soil surface, deliver it to the producer in a timely manner or as he needs it, and with minimal effort. We selected two different systems, two different sensor types, and two different wireless communication systems, but we had a high priority in that we wanted to select something that was not going to be an obstruction in the field. Being that the fields were 40 miles away, we couldn't get there timely, and we didn't really want to at this time have the producer have to stop and the guy get off the tractor to lay something down so it wouldn't be damaged and then pick it back up after he's completed that operation. So that was a high priority when we selected. So what you see on the screen here is our first unit that we selected was the Decagon EM50G data logger with a cellular modem, along with the EC5 volumetric soil water content sensors. As you see, we can put it below the canopy. We were able, as long as we had a signal from a cell tower that was a little bit better than the worst signal that they could detect, we could communicate. These systems or units would send the data to the Decagon server across the country, and then we were able to, me and the producer and county agent were able to download the data to our computers using the software provided that would automatically put it in tabular and cellular form. The second system we got was from Aerometer. We used the watermark sensors, soil water potential sensors, which are resistance type. And we use our 950T transmitters. Now these are 900 megahertz radios, and they are recommended to be mounted 4 feet above the canopy. That would be an obstruction. So we modified them and put an extension cable on them so that the antenna could be mounted on a fiberglass pole above the canopy, and the unit itself could be mounted, as you see, below the canopy. We really wanted these to be lower than a toolbar, in the drill, in a row that the tractor didn't run directly over the top of. We had 12 of these units. They transmitted the data to a central receiver that would store the data, and then this cellular gateway down below would then send the data to a Aerometer server across the country, and then they automatically put it in chart and tabular form, and all involved could access the data with a username password. And at least by in 2013, both Decagon and Aerometer had a way that we could look at this data on a mobile platform, your smartphone or tablet. Our producer had an iPad, and he was successfully looked at the data, both of these data sources, on his iPad. It was an irrigation initiation demonstration, so we didn't use the soil moisture sensors to begin with. We monitored the data, but we had him initiate irrigations when he normally would. We had a feeling from what he told us that he was initiating on this soil type a little early. This was a Dubs Dundee series soil, silt loam loam, a fairly deep, good cotton soil. We generally had three or four irrigation sets. We had him initiate the other sets 5 to 7 days apart, unless rainfall occurred. The blue stars that you see on there are the four decagon units that we had. We placed them in the middle, midway down the row. The fields were fur irrigated. We had 12 aerometer sensor sites. We placed them one quarter, one half, and three quarters way down the row. And we tried to put these sensor sites in soils that were similar in each set for taking yield comparison later. We had three sensors at each site at a depth of 8, 16, and 24 inches. The circle that you see drawn on there is basically the range that the receiver, which is in the middle, the black triangle, that's a 1,500-foot range that that aerometer sensor could receive data from. By having sensor sites one quarter, one half, and three quarters down the row, the producer could see how uniform his application down the row was. And in both years that we had this, he was very surprised to find out that the shallowest sensor at three quarters way down the row was not getting wet with his irrigation. He was irrigating, it got the water out, he might have let it pile up a little bit, but because we've been harping about wasting water, he cut it off, and he wasn't getting the water to soak in on farther down the row. These are low infiltration rate soils, so he just didn't have the opportunity time for the water to soak in. We talked to him about the possibility of using surge flow that may help improve his irrigation application uniformity down the road. He's very interested in trying that. This is just a graph of some of the data, the volumetric water content data, along with rainfall and irrigation. It gives validity to the movement of the data. But it becomes a lot more interesting when it comes from one of your fields that you're monitoring. Of course, what he was interested, could he save water and still yield the same? Here we have four irrigation sets in 2012. You see that that from top to bottom is our earliest to our latest initiations. We put three irrigations out on the first two initiations and two irrigations out on the last two initiations. You look at the yields, we definitely did not reduce yield, and we reduced the amount of water that we used, so we also saved energy. These type of results happened both in 2011 and 2013. 2011, the yield levels were a good bit lower, 8 to 900 range. In 2013, they were a little higher. But he was very happy that these occurred over all 3 years. What we saw happening was the two earliest initiation dates, we weren't allowing the water to be removed from the 24-inch level before irrigating, where the two later initiations, the roots were down at the 24-inch level and starting to remove water. So we were utilizing that water at that deeper depth better, we are blessed with good winter rainfall, and this is a deep soil, so we should be trying to utilize that water for more efficient irrigation. Overall, these commercially available wireless soil moisture systems worked reasonably well. They weren't flawless. They do have issues from time to time, connection issues. Sometimes moisture can be a problem. But they do work reasonably well and are fairly user-friendly. I believe that the producer or farmers, if inclined, can install, maintain, and operate these. This producer was very comfortable with the data that he got and used it, especially in the second and third year when coming back with an irrigation. And I really believe this information is needed. It's just going to be whether the producer's going to go and run it himself or if he's going to hire somebody to do it. But with that, I'll give it to Jason.
Good afternoon. Although I'm a southerner, I can tend to kind of speak fast at times, and particularly when we're pressed for time. So let me give you some background information. I've been with Mississippi State now for about 18, 19 months. When I came on board, what the producers charged me with was making them as efficient furrow irrigators as possible. When we kind of started having a conversation with the producers, it was, you know, we obviously had this aquifer issue that's pretty much up and down the Delta. It's bad in Arkansas, it's bad in Mississippi. There's issues in Louisiana. And, you know, the easy thing, in my opinion, was like, you know, if you want to improve your irrigation application efficiency, we probably need to switch the pivots. Well, I got dog cussed by them for, you know, a little bit. And after we got done with that, they said, no, what we want you to do is make us better furrow irrigators, period. So spend your time with that. And with us in the Delta, 80% of the acres in Mississippi are furrow irrigated. So it kind of makes sense that that's the area that they want to approach. 70% of my appointment was on extension. And so what we're going to do in this talk is just kind of take some of the stuff that Lyle's been talking about, some techniques that we can use to make us as efficient furrow irrigators as possible. So we're going to look at some of the results that we saw out of our extension program in Mississippi this year and just kind of go through it in a case study. But it, just, again, some background. How many consultants do we have in the room or producers? Okay, all right, this is for you. How many of you are all operating in the, quote, Delta? Okay. All right, so when we first came on board, we sent out a questionnaire to all of the permit holders, you know, for well withdrawals in Mississippi. And one of the primary questions, well, there's lots of questions, but one of them was, are you doing on your farm all you can do to be as efficient an irrigator as possible? The response was almost overwhelming. 90% of our producers perceived that they were irrigating as efficiently as they possibly could. So, you know, that's kind of the background. So now we come on to, these would be our bell cows, right? You know, when we're working the extension program, we're working on, you know, our top-end producers. Most of these fields that we're working on, these are the people that are sitting on the boards and the panels that see all the same information I do about how severe the aquifer issue is. So if these gentlemen are not irrigating properly, I cannot help but assume that it's going to extrapolate over the entire Delta. Having been born and raised in the Delta of Arkansas, I can assure you what I'm about to show you is probably holding up in Arkansas as well. So, okay, that's the background. Now we're going to look at what techniques do we have readily available that is going to make us very efficient furrow irrigators. In my opinion, we got three low-hanging fruits. The first one is the faucet or polypipe program. Any of you, are y'all familiar with that? Are all of your clients using it on all their acres? Okay, you need to be pressing hard on that one. That's the first thing we need to do. The second thing we need to do to make us as efficient furrow irrigators as possible is get serious about thinking about surge valves. I'm not going to be able to show you the data. I'm just going to show you these results. Come talk to me after, and I can give you more information. That's the second technique. And then finally, in Mississippi, we're pretty much, and some of you scientists can talk to me, but we're going to go in the direction of pushing very hard to have all of our people have soil moisture sensors in the field. And you'll see at the end of this talk why we're going to push in that direction. So with that, I'm going to go through a series of case studies, give you the overall results of what we saw at the extension program dealing with all the remaining soil types in Mississippi, all the way from the northeast, southwest part of the Delta. All right, so what I'm going to do is kind of go through all these case study format, tell you what the soil type generally is, what the producer is doing, and what we did differently. This is a head-by-head comparison on fields ranging from about 20 to 60 acres. In this case here, this is what our producers would call a mixed soil type. It's something like a clay loam on top, dropping down about 12 inches to a clay. The producer already has his side set up on faucet. We take the other 20, set it up on faucet, and put soil moisture sensors in to schedule the irrigation. The producer puts out four irrigations. They cuts 239 with a 924 return. We put out two irrigations, cut 236 with a 923 return. So in this case, we're three bushels behind. We're a dollar off, but we did it with 50% of the water. Again, this is a mixed soil type. Producer puts out three irrigations, cuts 238 with an 886 return. Again, using soil moisture sensors, we put out two irrigations, cut 237 with an 888 return. So in this case, when I'm bushel behind, I'm $2 ahead, and I use a third less water to do it. Again, this would be a mixed soil type. Producer gave us 5-acre blocks to work in. He's on either side of me. He's pretty much going to schedule with sensors the way that we tell him to in the center. Again, the only thing that's different, he already has this all set up with a faucet or polypipe type program. We only have soil moisture sensors in here. And generally, we're checking these. Our crews coming by, check them twice a week and giving the producer about a 3-day heads up on when we think he needs to initiate irrigation. So, producer puts out four irrigations, cuts 233 with a 784 return. On the other side of us, again, four irrigations, cut 248 with an 840 return. We put out two irrigations, cut 256 with an 881 return. In this case, we're 16 bushels an acre ahead. We're $70 ahead, and we did it with half the water. In this case, this is the Dundee silt loam. So this is the one that potentially seals up on us. We get very low infiltration rates. This would be a traditional type cotton soil for us in Mississippi. In this case, the producer has surge valves up. He has everything set up on faucet, just as we do. The producer skips irrigates, so he's going to go down every other furrow. So what we do differently in this case is that we're going to go down every furrow. We're going to split the irrigation sets up more than what he normally does, and we're going to schedule using soil moisture sensors again. And he's pretty much scheduling. I just call it nilly-willy, right? I don't know about y'all, but most of our producers, when I press hard on them, what they're using for a scheduling tool is their boot. They're using a screwdriver shoved down about 3 to 6 inches, and or they're going about every 7 to 10 days, and or going when their neighbor's going. That's pretty much what they're doing. So let's look and see what happens. In this case, this producer is set up to deliver the water as efficiently as possible, just as we are, but we're going to go down every furrow, he's going to go down every other, and we're going to use the soil moisture sensor to schedule irrigation. By the way, in Mississippi, their permitted value is 18 inches. The producer puts out 18.4 inches, cuts 217. We put out three irrigations, use 8.1 inches, cut 222. So in this case, we're 5 bushels ahead. The profitability is we're $50 ahead. We did with 55% less water, and he is no longer in violation of his permitted value. When we were talking to our producers, they said, maybe if we give you access to the well and the timing that you want, you can maybe do what I just showed you. They said, but we do not think there is any way you're going to make the spin around all these irrigation sets. So let's look and see if that was possible. So in this case, again, we're dealing with a Dundee silt long slash Dubs complex. This is what the producer is going to compare us to. He put out six irrigations, cuts 210. We put three irrigations, cut 215, and we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 irrigation sets. We could tell him when to start the spin. He could make it all the way around. So in this case, on the entire well, we're 5 bushels ahead. We did it with half the water again, and we've improved his profitability by about $50 an acre. On the soybeans, I don't have enough time to go into a whole lot of detail, but the producer's given us 240s. He's got 240s. We've set this up with surge valves on this heavy cracking clay, and we've set up with faucet. He's got one size hole punched all the way down. We're scheduling using soil moisture sensors. He's scheduling, again, I'll just call it willy-nilly. We put out five irrigations. The producer puts out five irrigations, use about 13 inches, cuts 87 bushels. Again, the producer puts out five irrigations, uses 15 acre inches, cuts 85 bushels. We put out three irrigations, 9.4 inches, cut 86. Put out three irrigations, 7.2 inches, cut 84. So here we're about a bushel behind. Profitability is about equal. We deal with 40% of the water. If you look at over our program this year, and again, that's pretty much working on what I would say our major soil types, cracking clays, mixed soils, and like Dundee silt loams have a tendency to seal up, that with corn, we're cutting statistically equivalent yields, soybeans statistically equivalent yields, and we're doing it with statistically half the water. And what I tell the producers is this is what this means to me as an extension specialist, that I feel about 99% confident that I can step on any field in the Delta and make you a more efficient furrow irrigator, have you use half the water, and maintain and improve your yield and guaranteed improve your profitability. That's an easy sell, gentlemen. So you consultants, please take some of this to heart. Take it back to your people. This is for real. We've demonstrated this basically with the furrow system in the South. This same type of information with the PIB has been clearly demonstrated out West. So I believe it's going to be very reproducible. With that, I'll take any questions or law.
Questions from the audience.
We did not look at what came off the field. Yeah, it's just what we applied. I'm sorry, the question was, did we look at the water that came off the field? And we did not. That was just the water applied. Yes, sir. Great. Yeah, we try to go as inexpensively as possible with our producers, so we went with the soil with the Watermark soil moisture sensors installed at 6, 12, 24, and 36 inches, only irrigated in the active rooting zone, i.e. meaning we wanted to see water use going on in one of those zones before we take it into the calculation. We checked them about twice a week, and we had them connected to a Hansen data logger, which gives you a digital display of about, I think it was 6 weeks in a digital format, and then logged for 6 months. It's with a setup of about $550. And again, with about a $50 to $60 an acre return above, it only took 10 acres to pay for this piece of equipment, which is probably going to last at least 3 years. Again, I kind of push this a no-brainer.
Any other questions?
Thank you.
All right, Jason Lyle, appreciate it.